Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. It's Friday, December 16th, 2011, as I record this. That's a few days late. It's a Friday. We usually record on Sunday. On Sunday morning, when we usually record, I showed up. Yvonne didn't. Turns out he was sick and asleep and something. So we tried to schedule a time early Monday UTC, Sunday evening Pacific time. And, well, then I was kind of busy. And, I was actually just finishing up ordering a car. And we'd actually just ordered the car. And then I went to dinner, blah, blah, blah. I'll talk more about that in a bit. And then, you know, so we didn't do that. And then Yvonne asked if we could do Monday evening. And I eventually answered and said, sure, but too late. He'd already, you know, made other plans, or, well, I think he went to sleep. So we never actually got together last weekend to do it. So here is one of those brief solo shows from me. And no co-host either, because, you know, I didn't know we were going to miss the show in advance. So here we go. I have a few topics to talk about real quick. I am going to mention, I said I ordered a car. We actually got two cars this week, so I'll talk a little bit about that. Of course, we've got the Republicans, and things going up and down and sideways and with them, and we'll talk about that for a minute. Then just a few notes about holiday shopping, and a little bit about what I've been doing with Twitter lately. And then that'll be a show. I don't think we'll last a whole hour, because, you know, frankly, I don't have a whole hour, because it's Friday morning, and I have to finish this stuff up, and then get to work. And some other errands on the way to work. But let's start out with cars. So, a few weeks ago on the show, I did mention that I was looking for a car, and Yvonne had helped a bit with his recommendations, which I ignored. I ended up ordering Subaru Impreza. The 2012 model. I posted on my blog. It's on abelsmay.com. If you care to take a look. I did a lot of research. I did look at a few cars that, Yvonne mentioned I should look at, a few others that I'd seen that I was like, oh, that looks like it might be cool, might make sense. But, you know, in the end, I was drawn to this one, had been for a while. And, did end up increasing the budget a little bit, because, of course, after I picked the car, I was like, well, but I want this feature, and I want that feature, and blah, 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 and then the next thing you know, it's the highest level model that they have of the car, and a couple little bells and whistles, and blah, 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 but, you know, should be happy with it. Now, this is a car that they still don't have widely in stock, so I ordered it, probably won't get it till end of January, beginning of February, but that's not that far away at this point. I'm very much looking forward to that, because we have had, being with one car has been absolutely nuts for the last couple months since September, when my old car died. But that's going to get relief a little bit sooner, too. I think I've also mentioned on the show that we've been considering the possibility of a car for our teenage daughter. Now, I never, ever, ever thought I'd be the kind of parent who would even consider getting their kid a car, like, right after they turn 16. It just, no, it was not a consideration, really. Because, you know, let them save up their money and get their own car, or let them share the family car, that's fine. Or, you know, maybe when they go off to college or whatever. But the long and short of it is our logistics are absolutely nuts with where everybody has to go on a daily basis. With one car, it was absolutely totally insane. Even with two cars, it meant that a significant amount of time each day was taken up getting, you know, our daughter where she needed to be, let alone where the rest of us needed to be. So her being able to get herself around will actually help a lot with transportation logistics. At least we're hoping so. I hope so. We were shopping for her too. One criteria was that she plays the upright double bass, It's a really large instrument. So they wanted a car that would fit that so that when she has to go to practices or whatever, she can take it in her own car. She also just wanted something big, and I don't know why. I don't understand. I like small cars. I hate big cars. I don't like SUVs. I don't like vans. I don't like trucks. I want, like, small. But, you know, she wanted something a little bit larger. We set a rough price guideline limit, which, of course, we also went slightly over. But, yeah, on Thursday? No, on Wednesday, as they were car shopping, she found the car of her dreams, and it was a minivan. And I just don't understand at all, but after some discussion and some, you know, look at the history of used cars of that ilk, we decided to go forward. And so, as of yesterday, she brought home a nice little minivan, although little is the wrong word there, a big old minivan. 2003 Ford Windstar. Very exciting, well, for her. Of course, at the moment, she's been dragging her feet about actually going in and taking the test for her license. So she's only got a permit and has to drive with one of us. But now that she's actually got a car, I imagine she will go in and take that test rather rapidly. So that should be taken care of in the next few weeks. But, you know, until my car arrives in January, you know, there's, you know, allocation of the cars will depend on need. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, it's been an adventure. And, of course, you know, I'm not, anyway, it's been an adventure. And two cars in the space of a week. Anyway, because it has, sort of has you slapping your head about, how much money just went out the door, but it's all necessary stuff. So there you go. Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back and we'll talk about the Republicans. This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right. An opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show, which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And, hey, I'll keep you in mind. And maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne, if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show. And here we are. So... The Republicans. I guess I'll start with the polls, since I've been doing that Real Clear Politics poll summary each week. Might as well do that real quick. So, headline, since we last spoke on one of these shows, is it's pretty clear now that Gingrich has indeed peaked and is heading down again. He's still way ahead, but it looks like we're past the peak Gingrich, as I was calling it. So where we are right now nationally, and again, nationally doesn't matter. We'll talk about Iowa and New Hampshire in a second. Iowa, Gingrich is ahead of Romney by 10.5%. So it's 33.2% Gingrich, 22.7% Romney, 10% Paul, 7.5% Bachman, 6.8% Perry, 3.5% Santorum, 3.2% Huntsman, and of course, now Kane is gone. But perhaps more immediately, and again, this is from Real Clear Politics, there are a number of places running polls of polls. TPM's is also quite nice right now. And there's also Polls and Votes, which is what came out of the old pollster.com, which was really good last year. The actual pollster.com got bought by Huffington Post and disappeared into Huffington Post, and I can't I can barely find it, and when I do find it, it's lost within the clutter. So haven't really looked at it this time around. But Polls and Votes comes from the other founder of Pollster.com, went and set that up. Anyway, Iowa, Gingrich has also quite clearly peaked there. He's now 8.4% ahead with 26%, followed by Romney at 17.6, Paul at 16.6, Perry at 10.2, Bachman 9.6, Santorum 6, Huntsman 3.4. So basically the story there is, you know, we've got just a few weeks. It's January 3rd is the caucus there. And caucuses are very volatile. They're not like primaries. They're, last cycle round, I went to, some of you may remember, I went to the Democratic caucuses here in Washington State. It's not just, you know, going and voting and circling a box or pushing a button or however you normally vote. You actually go into a big room with a bunch of people and you talk about things and you get into groups and you support your candidate and, they realign things like everybody gives their first preference and then they eliminate people who didn't get a certain percentage and then those people have to reallocate their votes and there's a whole process involved and before anything is final, people lobby each other and so people are going around and trying to convince you to change your vote and things like this. It's a very dynamic process. And in Iowa, even more so, as I understand it, because they realize, everybody's watching. So a lot can happen. Things move very quickly. Events, even in the last couple days before the caucuses, can have an effect on this. So we'll see. Does Gingrich completely collapse? I mean, right now, Gingrich is clearly in first place in Iowa, and then Romney and Paul are battling it out for second. And, that's another of the stories right now is Ron Paul. And, everybody is, of course, he can't get the nomination, blah, 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 blah. But can he be a major effect? If he gets a significant chunk of delegates coming out of Iowa, let alone if he wins, which is a possibility, if Gingrich collapses, then we're essentially looking at a three-way tie here between Gingrich, Romney, and Paul. And Paul could pull out Iowa. And you've got people saying, well, if Paul wins Iowa, then it just proves that Iowa doesn't really matter. But, it still could, give him a little boost that gets him a little bit more delegates. And with things as wide open as they are now, anything that, takes a big chunk of delegates and sort of reserves them on the side, you have the possibility of shenanigans happening further down the road. New Hampshire is next. Romney is still way ahead there. excuse me. Up by 10.8%, 33.8% Romney, 23 Gingrich, 16 Paul, 10.5 Huntsman, 3.3 Bachman, 2.3 Santorum, 1.8 Perry. The stories here, Romney is very far ahead, but not as far ahead as he was. Gingrich caught up a lot, but is fading a little bit. And you have both Paul and Huntsman slowly but surely increasing their numbers. They're in double digits now. It's still not, looking like they're going to suddenly win or anything. But, if you have a double digit showing, that's not bad. And that gives you something to take out of the state, potentially. So, interesting stuff going on there. We just, as I record this yesterday, Thursday evening, had the Thursday evening Pacific and Eastern, etc., had the last Republican debate before Iowa. And we've certainly had enough of these going on. I watched a little bit of it. Hi, Alex. But I didn't watch the whole thing. I haven't watched a whole debate in forever. I guess the biggest takeaway was there, people were attacking Gingrich, but there are no big... Sorry about that. Alex turned off my recording. No big events out of the debates. Earlier in the week, there was a previous debate where Romney did some self-forced errors, offering a $10,000 bet things like that. Yeah, I mean, I think we're where we always were. I think Romney's still the odds-on guy here. Gingrich is starting to fade, but he's starting to fade late, and so far, he's fading a little bit, but he's not collapsing, even though all of his opponents are attacking him heavily now. I think, the question on Gingrich is just when he implodes. And, does he implode now? Does he implode after we've had a few primary and caucuses where he's got a significant chunk of delegates? Does he implode after he's the nominee? Or, worst case scenario, of course, he implodes after he's president. it looks like he's peaked and is on the way down. But we're so close now to the voting starting that, he could still do pretty well. But the next couple weeks are going to be very important. A lot's still happening. The real race starts. And I have to get my act in order. See if I'm going to do the delegate tracking sort of thing that I did last cycle. I have a lot less time than I did back then, but I think it was very useful. One of the charts that I did last time around that nobody else does. Everybody, you will find the charts of how many delegates each of the candidates has, pretty much everywhere, with a big line that says sort of the finish line, the line they have to get to in order to lock the nomination. But the one graph that I did that nobody else did is, what percentage of the remaining delegates do they have to get in order to win? Because here's the thing. If that gets to be an unreasonable number, they're out. And this is what happened with Hillary last time. People were talking about this race with Hillary and Obama for months and months and months. It was clear from the numbers and the math that she was done way, way, way before that, because, she had typically been getting X percent of the delegates, and in order to actually catch up and win, she would have to be getting a much, much larger percentage of the delegates, which kept going up and up and up and up. I don't have that graph in front of me, but let's say she'd been getting on average 45% of the delegates. We were getting to the point where in order to win, she needed 60%. Then she needed 70%. Then she needed 80% of the remaining delegates. Not going to happen. So I found that a very useful chart to be looking at, because it sort of showed you what was still relatively possible, as opposed to, if she got 100% of the delegates from now on, she'd catch up. Well, that's not going to happen. Yes, she's only this many delegates behind, but there's not that many left, So anyway, I'll see what I can do. But I have so little time these days. Anyway, let's take another break, and we'll be back and talk a little bit about holiday shopping. Here we are again. I don't really have a lot to say about holiday shopping, except my usual pattern is as much as humanly possible to avoid any physical stores between Thanksgiving and Christmas, because I am not one who likes crowds. I do not like shopping in physical stores anyway. Like, I try to avoid it anyway, and buy all my stuff online for whenever possible. However, I will go to physical stores. I will go to a mall occasionally. I will, head out to the Apple store to get something, if I want something short term, or just to, my family's going, I'll go with them. During Christmas, Thanksgiving and Christmas, I really try to avoid it, because it's crowded. There are people everywhere. I just don't. You okay? Alex just fell down. Here, come here. Here's my hand. No? Okay, you got it? Yeah, I know. It surprised you. Here. Anyway, I try to avoid the physical stores. The last few years has been essentially to govern my holiday shopping by the general maxim of one present per day, starting on December 1st, until it is too late. And I generally don't actually stick to the one present per day. I sort of catch up. Like, for instance, at this very moment, I have... Oh, I know. I've bought 10. It is the 16th, and I've brought 10 presents. So I need to catch up. So, like, to catch up, I would need to buy 6 today. Yes, Alex, I know. I know. Aww. Where do you want to go?
Mommy.
You want to go see Mommy? Okay, we're going to go take Alex to see Mommy. We'll be right back. Okay, here we are. We're back. He had been stepping on a book, and the book slipped, and so he fell a little bit. He wasn't hurt or anything, but he was surprised and upset. Anyway, I took him to Mommy. On a tangent, right before the show or during one of the breaks or something, he brought me my iPhone because he'd been watching something on Netflix on the iPhone. And, well, the Netflix app was gone because he'd deleted it. And he'd moved some other things around. These are fairly common actions these days. But the weird thing was there were some apps that were there, but no longer had their icons. So you only had the name of the app, and their little picture icon thing just wasn't there anymore. But the app was still there, and you could still use it. And I'm like, I don't even know how to do that. I have no idea how that happened, how he did that. But, you know, he figured it out, I guess. Anyway, as I was saying about shopping, I'm doing the one-a-day thing. I'm a little behind right now. I have to catch up. I'm running out of time. And I guess we're already at the point now where the only things that'll really make it on time are things that, I've got Amazon Prime, so everything's two-day shipping. So I've got a little bit more time left. But anything that's, you know, from somewhere else that's only available standard shipping already may not make it. So, you know, time's a fugiting. But, you know, I don't know. I used to use other methods. This is the one I've used the last couple of years. I don't know. I've gotten, like, most of the easy things off the plate. The ones where I was like, okay, I know what I'm getting for this person. Now I'm at the I have no idea stage. But helpfully, a couple of people who are usually difficult to get gifts for actually told me what they wanted this year. And that was a good thing. I really appreciated that. I'm once again, for the last few years, been in the mode of, you know, I used to be more expansive, but these days presents only go to, you know, direct family, basically. I made one exception this year. But basically it's only, you know, my mom, my dad, my sister, you know, my wife, my kids, and that's it. We'll see. Anyway, presents. If anybody has any interesting holiday shopping stories from this time around, feel free to send them in and we'll read them on the show. But that's enough for now. Let's take a break and we'll come back. And I just wanted to talk briefly about what I've been doing with Twitter lately. Twitter, 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 tweet, tweet. Anyway, we'll be right back after this exciting message thing. Trouble the ball, you cannot say. Trouble the ball, you cannot say. Trouble the ball, you cannot say.
Thank you for using your conference account information.
Okay, so Twitter. You know, basically for, I opened a Twitter account, you know, a couple years ago, whenever, and basically the only thing that I had on it was, whenever I posted something on my blog, it would post, you know, hey, I just posted something on my blog with a link, and, that was fine, well, and good. But I, you know, recently, one of the things that Google Reader used to do is they had a share feature, but the share feature would, when you clicked that button, the items you shared was also available as a feed. So I had a feed of items I'd recently been reading on the right-hand side of my blog, and people could theoretically subscribe to that too. So I would share things that I thought were interesting. Actually, I was a little bit more aggressive about that. I was sharing just about anything I read any part of. Now, I don't think that anybody was actually taking advantage of that. If you were, you know, let me know if you were reading that old feed of things Sam is reading. But I don't think anyone was really utilizing it other than me. I would use it sometimes to go back and find things that I had read when I wanted to later. excuse me, still sick. You know, as part of Google Reader's changes lately, they've eliminated that. Now, I have noticed that some of the third-party readers, there's still a share button, and it will still insert things into that old RSS feed, but it's clearly something that's going away. So I was looking at other things to do. So in the end, I decided that because Twitter integration had been added to so many things, there's share and Twitter buttons in every place I use for reading my Google Reader stuff. In the, you can set it up in the Google Reader itself. You can get a plugin for your browser so that any page you're looking at, you can share in Twitter. The app I use, Tweetbot on my iPhone. Well, that's for reading Twitter. Shows. Obviously has Twitter functions, and then also for reading my news feeds. What's the other app I use? Feedler Pro also has share with Twitter stuff. So it was everywhere. Like, and I, you know, a long time ago, if there was an article that was really interesting to me, I would actually post it on my blog, post a link to it, do an excerpt, talk a little bit about my thoughts about it, and frankly, that is something I haven't had time for in years. I mean, maybe for something really extraordinary, I would do that. But, you know, between work, the kids, the home, blah, 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 no time. So I decided on doing a lightweight thing where whenever I read something that I think is somewhat interesting. I mean, my original guideline was, is this something that I would forward? You know, there are only a handful of people I would typically forward things to. I'd forward things to Yvonne that I thought might be interesting for the show, and I'd forward things to my family that I thought they might be interested in. I generally didn't forward beyond that circle. Basically anything that I would have forwarded in that way, I'm now posting a quick tweet that says I'm reading, and what the article is, who it's by, where it's from, and a link to it. It generally only takes me a few seconds to do one of those tweets. It would be nice if it was even easier than it is, because I sometimes have to copy and paste the title of the article and stuff, because if you just hit the share button, it just sends the link or something stupid like that, or it says the link with some of the information but not all. It depends on the page you're forwarding and how you're... Anyway, it doesn't matter. But it's relatively quick and easy. I've been doing that. If you want to get those in real time as I do them, you know, follow me on Twitter. It's Abelsmay. You could probably guess I'm Abelsmay everywhere, pretty much. Abulsme. But I also have a thing set up that a daily digest of those is published to my blog. So if you just subscribe to the Abelsmay.com RSS feed or actually visit the site occasionally, you'll get those as well. I already got one comment from one regular listener to this show that they found those reading updates interesting at times. So if anybody else has any thoughts or feedback, I encourage you to check it out. I'm going to try to continue doing it. It's usually, you know, a handful per day. Depends on the day. And I'm adjusting, you know, how many, you know, what I share when, you know, like, do I share absolutely everything I read? No, probably not. I share the things that I think are worth sharing, I guess is the way to put it. It also depends somewhat on when I see it. Like, if I see an interesting article and I'm reading it, but I'm, you know, have to run off to something, or I was in, you know, a 5-second break between other things and needed to get back to it and didn't have time, sometimes I won't hit the share button, or I'll save the article for later to share later, and then by the time I get to it again, it no longer seems as relevant, and I won't. So, you know, but anyway, I think it's been interesting. Of course, now my blog, because I haven't had time for other things, is basically the daily summary of tweets and occasionally something else. We'll see how it goes. And it actually was important to me. I wasn't going to start doing this until I had the archiving to my blog with the daily summary. Because, and first, by the way, I had it set to post to my blog every time I tweeted. But that was, the volume was too much. So the daily summary works well. excuse me. anyway, something interesting. I'd be open to feedback. Let me know what you guys think. I think that's a show. As usual, email me any comments, questions, abelsmay@abelsmay.com. Tell your friends about the show if you like it. Like I said, retweet the announcements of the show, post them on your blog, post them on Facebook, all of that kind of stuff. You know, follow me on Twitter. I'll occasionally post things to my blog too, but my blog is, aside from this stuff, is mostly, you know, family pictures and stuff. So, different audience than this show, I guess, for the most part. Well, maybe not that much. A lot of people who listen to this show know us. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. See you next week. Goodbye.